Hello everyone and welcome to Raw Talks podcast with me Sarah together with Simba and Mark from Living with the Spirit, and we are here to offer you raw and real conversations about physical, emotional and spiritual transformation. We are specialized in regulating the nervous system, somatic work, energetics, shadow work and deep and unique body work. Our purpose here today is to share our journey and our teachings with conscious leaders just like you and to unlock anything that is holding you back from living a life of freedom and purpose. We are truly grateful and honored to have you with us, and let's explore. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of our Raw Talks podcast with our teacher Luhan Matus. Welcome, Luhan.
Howdy doody.
Welcome back. So we are doing this, I guess it's a holiday series for us. we're doing a couple of episodes on different topics that we want to discuss with Luhan. And today we would like to dive a little bit deeper into true communication. This amazing topic that affects us, feels like, on all days and times of life. It's a very big topic, and it's something that provides us with a daily practice, I would say, because it is a practice to stay true to the communication. So Luhan, how do you describe true communication?
No, firstly, you put the dedication of the flame of your own altar, which is the perception which comes from your heart. You don't betray that for yourself. You stay absolutely adhered to a certain balance, so that you're first communicating with yourself, and feel gracious and feel gratitude for the moment that we're in. And then transfer that to other people with as much sincerity as possible. Yeah, and stay true to it 100%. And I guess in a lot of the other interviews, I've always said, you know, it's like who you can't talk to, you still communicate with, and who you can talk to, you communicate as deeply as you can, whatever's possible. So it's to be true to those who are untrue to you, and to be absolutely true and faithful to those who are doubly true to you.
So thank you. So why is this so difficult? So why can't we just live like that and be like that?
Because we've been destabilized, believing that the communication we were brought up with is correct and functional, where it's not really correct and functional. So that people usually have habitual habits that they fall into, and those habitual habits have got to do with their sense of righteousness, or their sense of what they're privileged to transfer to somebody else without taking full responsibility of whatever that transfer is. And I think that's the biggest difficulty, not to see what you're doing to another human being, and also not even having the capacity to see what you're doing in terms of your own communication towards yourself. So if you have a bad dialogue or a bad feeling, you know, this rotates within yourself, you know, and then instead of giving yourself openly and honestly to the next person that cares for you, with the feeling that you need to communicate to get it off your chest, you transfer through reactivity, instead of transferring the truth of how you're feeling, so that you can transmit exactly what's going on, so you can get some sort of relief from the pattern which is besetting the person. Yeah. But true honesty is very rare, really. You usually have to sort of dig for the gold to get the true wealth of somebody, you know, so. And people are usually scared to communicate absolutely honestly, because there have been ramifications in their life, you know, so, and they get used to it. They lock themselves into certain patterns, and And those patterns are very limiting. So we break into the patterns and talk to them openly and honestly and see how far that person can perceive. Until you can perceive without speaking, you can perceive beyond physical representation, and then you can intuit what the other person's intuiting. Yeah, there's only been a few people in my life that I've met that are capable of doing this. And it's beautiful to have a realization and then realize the other person's realizing what you're realizing. You know, it's a very fine and beautiful state to be in. Yeah. But the secret behind that is not to say that you're having the same experience, but you know you're having the same experience, and then you're on a different level of communication. And it's very nurturing and very loving. Yeah, someone has to really care for that to occur. And I experienced that mainly with one man I met in Bali. Yeah, and he became very devoted to me because Misper and I were very devoted towards his situation, and all the cultural boundaries were broken down from his perspective, and then he could see we were real people. And then he found out we were more than just Westerners; we were capable of knowing what he knew. Yeah. It was very beautiful.
Thank you so much. Simba, yeah. I think you had a question.
Yeah, so for me, working as a coach and seeing people every day and working with these kind of dynamics, communication, I find myself seeing a trend of, I think you call it weaponization, when our emotions become so strong, or we hold on to them so strong and we don't really want to let go of them, that they become more, it's like you, like I address a behavior or something I see within someone and they take it personal, like you're talking about them. And I found the last couple of years it's been harder and harder for people to kind of discern what is me and what is just a pattern, what is just something that you're feeling. Is this something you've been noticing as well, or is that more me?
I think over the years, there's been more of a desire for people to evolve, and evolving is really, really a job that you have to assign yourself to and never give up. And the assignment of that particular task always changes. I've noticed that there is a split somehow in society. There are people you can, and then there are people you can and can't talk to, and you've got to define who they are. But if they come to you directly for assistance, they've got to expect to open up if they want assistance to evolve. If they feel trapped or they feel like they need some sort of guidance, then they've got to be open to being spotted. Yeah. So it's that's a difficult journey. It took me many, many years to move in on somebody very, very quietly and very, very subtly, and then they realized that they've been tracked in on, and it's got to be done in a certain way. And in a lot of cases, some people will accept you seeing something and spotting it and talking about it, and other times it just won't be possible. So you've got to give up where you need to give up. And in a lot of cases, it's good to have a person isolated while you're communicating with them, because if you had a group of people that are signed with the same type of consciousness, they'll bolster each other through the mechanisms of their realizations of judging you instead of having a really good look at what's going on. So it's so a gang mentality. Yeah, so it's and in those cases, it is probably good just to back off and let it unfold the way it is until they realize that all they were doing was supporting something which is necessary to be seen and to be smoothed over, or probably the wrong word, but to be eradicated so it doesn't come up and be destructive. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I feel that like a division, like you said, there will be seems to be more people wanting to cultivate these aspects, and there's other people that are, might be defending it a little bit more. Like it's a little bit of a rift. How would it look like for people? Would you say like the weaponization? Like if, because it might look very,
You might have an ulterior motive. So if somebody has an ulterior motive, then they want to work the ulterior motive, and that's what they believe that they should put on the table and have the expectation that that will give them growth. But the ulterior motive doesn't usually work because the ulterior motive has got to do with the old patterns that they're holding, and the expectation is it's unrealistic. So even if we look at our own lives, you could say that we really wanted to learn, and then the only way to really learn is to suffer through something which is untenable, because you need to change it and you need to suffer through it. And the suffering brings a lot of gratitude because you have to fight very, very hard for change in the beginning. And then it's very, very, very easy to give up fighting change when you realize that folding in some circumstances are very, very important to realize what you're doing to undermine yourself, actually.
Yeah, I recognize this. I usually say pain is a teacher, and many of my teachers said that as well. Not that we should look for pain, but pain is a teacher itself, and we might just look at it very differently. Like, I want to get rid of this. Why do I have this? What did I do wrong? Where it actually might be an opportunity for growth if we can lean into it.
Yeah, lean into it. Absolutely. Come to terms with it. Don't blame or shame anybody else for that. Don't react to anybody with it. But see it as a tool to reforge your own nature. I mean, we've all done this. I've done this too. Pain and sorrow are the best teachers. Yeah.
Definitely.
But it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to put people through pain and sorrow. Yeah. But the pain and sorrow is something that has to be sustained for a fairly long time to realize, because somebody can go through something. It's just like if you know someone who's chronically ill and you get a flu for 2 weeks and you say, well, I really realize what you're going through, and you bounce back and then you forget what they're going through. And they can see that you've forgotten and you can't really understand anymore, because it's only been a momentary affliction where somebody may be going through something terrible. Yeah. And those burdens must be understood, I believe.
So if someone is in that pattern, how could they realize it? Like if I'm listening to this and I might be like wondering, am I weaponizing my emotions and attacking others? What would be a good way to start spotting that in your own behavior, in your own patterns, that that's actually what's going on? I'm not addressing what I'm feeling. I'm actually putting it out there towards others.
Well, you've got to point it out to someone, I expect, in terms of realizing the frequency that's coming inside of you and restricting your freedom, because weaponization is actually there as a tool to restrict somebody else's freedom of expression, because the weaponization is to restrict that openness, because the openness means that whatever is weaponized will be seen and looked at and examined. So that people usually weaponize to keep people away from letting them realize, you know. In a lot of cases, I've seen people get very angry, not coming to me, but I've seen people indirectly, and they seem to get angry just for no reason other than just keeping people at a distance so that you can't get to the core of them. Because at the core of them, they're not really angry. They're burdened by an enormous amount of sorrow for not being able to achieve what they expected within their own life. Yeah. So when you look at that, that's very sad.
Yeah, really taking a step back and trying to see what the expression of the weaponization is, or what's coming across, right? It looks differently than what's really going on. There's something underlying that's trying to get expressed, if I understood you right.
Yeah, well, if somebody's weaponized, they may direct you, even if it's not completely obvious, they may direct you in an area to focus on, which has got nothing to do with the point that needs to be looked at. Yeah.
How would
so
you
that
say
that's a
would,
hmm?
sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Now, how would you know if you're being weaponized? How does it? Because you can feel
if
it,
some
right?
if yeah if somebody's not completely open, you can feel that there's no heart connection, there's no softness, no graciousness there, or no humble perspective in terms of realizing that time is limited. Then you know, when you feel immortal, you just believe you can do anything and get away with it. And it, you know, it, you can usually feel it inside of yourself. If you're soft enough to want to change and examine yourself, you open yourself up for feeling other people's turmoil. And the burden of someone who wants to evolve and recognize what they need to change and transform inside of themselves opens them up to seeing what needs to be changed and transformed in somebody else, because they usually occupy the space that you empty. Yeah. And when they go into that space, you find moods and ways and means of communication that have nothing to do with what you've done. And then you discover that that it's irrational, but it looks rational. So Mispa said to someone many, many years ago, it sounds, you, what did she say? What you're saying sounds rational, but doesn't make any sense. You know, so you got to capture that. Yeah. My beautiful Buddha.
Yeah. Sometimes talk about that there are beautiful collisions, that if someone runs into you, it can also be a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
How would you explain that?
Well, I've met people where I just end up joyously laughing because they're on the same frequency, but when that frequency dies down, you usually find out what's behind the frequency, because everybody has hopes and dreams, and there are certain things behind the hopes and dreams or the mechanisms they put forward for evolution. And once you get past the general first layer, then you discover there's something behind that, and you have to navigate this with a lot of care and a lot of awareness. So you don't get entangled with any emotion, or you don't identify with that emotion, but you realize that emotion is something you don't use as an operational mode for your behavioral patterns. And in the same breath, you've got to make sure that the operational patterns which you're examining don't really get embedded inside of you. So you start to utilize the same pattern and become used to it. Yeah. Becoming so familiar that you don't realize that you've fallen into a trap. And that's a good thing too, actually, to be so devoted to someone and then putting aside everything that you know just to give them enough room to move, and then discover that that there's been too much room being given. And then you discover how faithful and devoted you've been, and then you have to then squeeze the situation again to say, okay, it's gone out of a certain area of functionality. We have to come back in and have a look at this, because it's not working. So then you've got a big job, because the person then is used to operating in a certain way, and when you realize there are certain things within that openness which isn't really open, it's come about through familiarity, because you end up loving people, you end up being devoted to them very, very deeply, and then you have to re-emerge yourself in looking at the situation again, where you discover where you've been very, very gently maneuvered into a position that doesn't belong to you because of your kindness and openness, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. So a teacher is probably always a teacher. Until the person just realizes that the only thing that really matters is devotion, love, and caring for each other's circumstance, with 100%. Of their attention in terms of caring for somebody else. And when this occurs, you get cared for, they get cared for, and everything works better that way. Yeah.
Mark, did you have a question?
Yeah, you know, related to this topic about true communication, we were kind of wondering about, like, in the pursuit of you know, growing and evolving and depthening our spiritual endeavors, leaving the social realm and how to navigate leaving the social realm, but also because, you know, we're in business, we still need to navigate the social realm a bit. So, you know, do you have any advice on how to masterfully navigate that situation?
You virtually have to give up everything social, but by giving up everything social doesn't mean you're not going to be a loving person. So it's for me, I can't go out into the normal world and be social. It drains me severely. You know, I'm like a sack of potatoes after an hour of being not the person I'm meant to be, you know. So it's a very, very heavy duty thing. So it's you can be kind to someone, but you've got to measure the amount of time you spend with them if they can't break their social boundaries. If it's cultural and the cultural ebbs and flow are kind of beautiful, you can go with that, you know. But as long as it's a cultural thing which is surrounded by devotion, and that then that devotion is then is propagated towards relationship, then it's not social anymore. It's a devotional practice.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's a lot easier to see in a small group. But like for example, we're preparing Sarah to you know, like take the stage and be on other podcasts and these kind of things. And so, you know, how do we protect our energy and stay within our little bubble, but then also emerge out into these little social spheres and you know, keep our true essence and communication throughout all of that?
Yeah, well, the way I handle it is basically to be there and be authentic, nothing else. You know, it's communicating with your strength and your power, and the only power you've got is really your power of communication in terms of your being sincere, and not being pulled into any sort of social ebbs and flows by anybody expecting you to be with them after you teach. It's very, very rare. I can be with somebody for a short period of time, but no longer than that. I can spend my whole time with my wife, but it's used. We've got a very, very beautiful agreement. We don't really talk unless there's something to talk about. We're just lovingly there for each other. And it's very, very difficult for people to come to terms with this in terms of silent gratitude or being aware of what you need to do without, you know, having a television blaring or a radio completely going all the time and just being in a state of quietude, and then graciously watching the influx of information coming from the person's field of energy, just by being there instead of compensating with words. Instead of being there, you compensate with words, and then it becomes a drain because you're actually trying to fill the silent spaces up with something that shouldn't really be there. Yeah. So if Sarah's going to do that, she's going to have to strongly withdraw, and powerfully be there when people expect her to be there, and it's share your vulnerabilities and your love to your husband and to your close friends, and keep your distance from everybody else, because it's very, very necessary to keep your personal integrity intact and not to drain yourself in things that don't really need to be indulged in, you know. So I'm being too tough, aren't I? Am I being tough?
No.
Yeah, because I really can't do that, because it's either I'm a teacher 100% or I'm not a teacher. Mm. So if you decide to be a teacher, you have to be 100% a teacher. That's 100% of the time. You just can't allocate 2 hours to teaching and then you become a social animal. It doesn't work. Yeah, you have to keep your distance and keep your refinement in terms of your future goals, in terms of what you expect, which you can't really expect anything in exchange until it occurs. So what you're growing into is something that's not social, something that comes upon you without even realizing what's going to occur.
I feel like that is what we are naturally stepping into, being in the teacher role 100%. What we do is that we devote our love and time to our students, and so we have very beautiful relationships within those containers. And the rest of the time. I mean, people have been questioning us a bit, you know, like why why we are always in our space and in our devotion. And I think that happened very naturally for us because we are very devoted to our purpose and our practice. And so that has happened naturally. And now when you say that, that makes a lot of sense. And being in the teacher mode 100% feels very aligned. And I feel like that's where we're heading.
Yeah, to positively destroy something which everybody's coming to change, you can't really indulge in it. Otherwise, you live a contradiction. So it's I think it's a beautiful thing to be devoted to your path, devoted to your husband, devoted to your close, very very close friends that are supporting you in your endeavors and your work, and then to unfold and cry with them. Yeah, and be generous and loving to those who understand what you're going through, because you're all teachers. Yeah.
I heard you say a couple of times that you can't be around people who are not kind. I'm starting to feel the same way, that it's very difficult to be around people who are weaponizing and who are not aware of, or they are entitling the behavior or things like that.
Yeah, that's really true. You've got to be very careful who you put in your close proximity, because you absorb their feelings. And if you put yourself in the position to be a sponge, then you will be a sponge 100% of the time. And when you grow into the path of being a teacher, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You notice everything. And then you've got to unravel that. And you unravel it through the kindness and love to your husband or to your pussycats or to Mark, you know, and his wife, because you're very, very closely knitted. So it's, yeah, it's very, very important to have a certain amount of distance to give you the capacity to be in the mess and then get out of the mess. And maybe people who are unkind that aren't in your close proximity, it's easy to see them. But it's very, very difficult for them to even notice who you are. So it's as long as you're not around those people permanently or over a long period of time, it's easy to notice them, and then the discipline is not to judge them. Yeah, and then learn from your non-judgment, because there's a very, very beautiful, subtle window that opens up when somebody comes at you and they're not your student, and you treat them with loving indifference, and that door opens up to show you some magical key. It's a very, very beautiful thing. But if you bring somebody into your life, you have someone into your life that's permanently weaponized, then that door won't open, because you won't have enough room for it to. It'll knock on you without opening completely. Yeah, because you're too close to it. Yeah.
I feel with our students, we have such great relationships. It's incredible how beautiful those relationships can be where there is no weaponization, and that there is this trust, and there's just so much love and support, and it's really flowing, you know, back and forth. It's very, very, because I think people wonder sometimes why we remove ourselves from the social, and they think that we don't have a lot of relationships, or that we don't have a lot of exchange between other people, that we are isolated, but that's not really what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of people in our lives.
Yeah, and you have a lot of exchange with things that people don't notice.
Yeah.
Like if I could say, well, the exchange in my life is totally not tangible for anybody else, but it's a continual influx of information. And that information has to be reordered inside of yourself to give you the capacity to speak about what you realize. But if you're overwhelmed, then you can't really assume responsibility for those things you realize. And then you know, if things are too active in the wrong spheres of company, then you can't get access to it. So you have to have a certain amount of room to cleanse yourself and then go back in. Yeah. And it's very lovely for people that if they want to express their openness and not be engaged in anything social, but just to be in a space where there's absolute trust that they're not going to be bombarded with something that may injure that openness. Because that's what's wrong with the world, is that whenever we're open, there may be somebody coming along to destroy that. Yeah, through their unconscious behavior. Yeah, but in a protected environment, that is possible.
Yeah. That's why it also becomes a bit difficult if you're in that space and you are wide open, because there is so much trust, and then the weaponization comes anyway, and it can sometimes be caught off guard. And then when that happened to me sometimes, and it takes me days to recover from that. What is it that happens in the body that takes such a long time to kind of recover from?
Well, you've consumed something, so it's an injury, and that injury is a very, very important thing to come to terms with. And that injury, if you don't weaponize it, then it goes inside and bleeds. Yeah, so your wound has to slowly, slowly heal. Yeah, so that's when you really do need the time and space to generate, a loving contact with the ground, or with your garden, or with your close friends, or just to withdraw until it disappears, because it is really our responsibility to watch everything that comes up, and then discern that our mind doesn't exist, and really the feelings that come about don't really exist.
For me,
but while they're there, yeah.
For me, it's almost like a physical sensation. It's
yeah,
such a strong,
absolutely
physical sensation.
Yeah.
And it takes some time. Every time it has happened, I have also learned so much from it, and I grow so much from it, because it makes me really go inside, and it feels like I get access to something new, and it shows me where I need to grow and where. So every time something like that happens, I go to myself and see, okay, what's going on here? What is it that I'm supposed to learn? What is it that I'm supposed to do? Is it lack of boundaries? Is it, and I can like backtrack, like where, because you also mentioned this, when you slowly, slowly get navigating
maneuvered
into something that isn't you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what happened here? Where did I get lost?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do exactly the same thing. And I ask myself, how can I be better? How can I navigate this better? And it's always a surprise when you find that something comes up inside. So it's an obstacle. It's a definite test. And I think we'll be continually tested for the rest of our life, actually.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, actually. It's really a beautiful thing.
Would you say that we need to expect to be challenged like this when we decide to, when we choose the teacher path like this?
No, I don't think we really, really need to expect it. We need to wait till the grace of our own personal circumstances bring us a certain amount of beauty, devotion, and love. Yeah. Have enough fortitude to keep going and keep going and keep going. And then all of a sudden something breaks. This is what happened to me. Something broke. And then all of a sudden all these beautiful people flooded in because I never gave up. Yeah. And then the blessings start to get stronger and stronger. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, look at you guys. I got beautiful guys like you around me, so it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So being devoted brings devotion.
Yeah.
And only those who understand the need for devotion to be in a state of gratitude, they're the people who will actually really see what you're really doing, and then grow towards the same directive. Yeah. Or the same impulses of love and compassion and kindness, openness, which is lacking in our world. And the more of us there is, the better our world's going to become. Yeah. And that's got not to do with how good we are, but the amount of gratitude that we can sustain in terms of being grateful for everything that's ever happened. Yeah.
That's where the devotion comes in, I feel.
That's true. That's
the devotion, the path that we choose.
Oh, the path chooses us, actually.
Can you elaborate a bit?
Your path chooses you. Well, I've known who I've been ever since a child. I've never changed. But supporting that that characteristic has taken a while. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody has a certain characteristic that they know that they're going to grow into that for the rest of their life. I never forgot it, and I guess you guys are on the same path. You found something that was very beautiful. You don't want to drop it. You know it's the only important thing that really matters, and you just go for that. That's who we really are. And it wouldn't be sustainable to be anything else. I can't be anything else. Can you guys be anything else than what you've decided to be? Yeah, knowing who you are is the most important thing. And then attempting to grow into an evolutionary process that you've got no idea who you're going to become. You know, no idea. No expectations, but just... yeah, just the heart opening up and waiting for the blessings to occur after that. And the heart was already open when we realized that. I guess you must have realized something when you were younger, Sarah, same as you, Simba and Mark. There must be some realization. And something takes you off the path for a certain amount of time, then you realize this doesn't work. And you come back. Not everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was, what I was, I mean, you could say waylaid on my path, but there is no such thing, because I was into a lot of drugs and alcohol and partying and, you know, for many years, and that was super damaging. And I remember that I would almost like I would wake up in a dream, but I was awake, but I was in a situation doing something. And then I would ask myself, like, what am I doing? This is, what is this? This is, what, like, you know, why are we
I wish I was as smart as you.
But then I got a reply, and like my body said, like, this is just temporary, we will stop doing this. And I was like, okay, but are we stopping now? Like, no. And then one day I just stood up and like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then I completely changed the path of my life.
Yeah, virtually the same sort of thing happened to me as well. It's just a matter of, I was down a few timelines where I was so stupid I didn't even know I was in it, but it kicked me out anyway. And when it kicked me out, I didn't realize. And then I went into another timeline. I got kicked out of that timeline. I was very lucky, actually, very, very lucky.
Me too.
Because the blinders were very strong in my eyes when I was younger, very strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I had glimpses of what was necessary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes the path is difficult. Sometimes it's very, very easy.
Okay, we're waiting for the easy part. So yeah. Good. That's yet to come.
No, I think it's coming, really.
Yeah.
You guys are really lovely. You know.
Well, we have a good teacher.
Thank you. You're beautiful. I can't take all the credit. Really, I can't. But you know, it's a beautiful thing to realize. It's a beautiful thing to know exactly what your purpose is, and to adhere to that purpose 100%. Yeah. And to know any distraction is basically there as a lesson. Yeah.
Any distraction is basically
any
lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're finding that to be very true in right now. we kind of set an intention of coming into the new year that our intention is to focus, because there are a myriad of distractions and there are different things that we could work on or different things that we could teach or different people that we could work with. But we're finding that devotional aspect of the focus, which draws us together, which allows us to work, you know, in cohesion with our main objective. And that's what we're sticking to.
Yeah. So there you tell them. Tell them, Mark. It's really true. It's really true. You just make you make your plans, and then when your plans don't go the way that they're meant to go, then you watch very, very carefully. It's a wonderful thing, the way you guys are designing your attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really like what you said earlier about the path of the teacher, and you have to be the teacher 100% of the time. And maybe for me, that was something I want to look at more carefully in myself, because I think it would be beneficial to take on that attitude towards being a teacher.
It may seem restrictive, but it's there are certain things that I can't do, certain things that I really want to. Even my next door neighbor tries to lasso me as I come out to get me into his house. I just don't, I won't do it. I just said, no, you know, I appreciate that, but I can't do that. I'm very honest. I said, I need to spend time with my wife and in my practice, and, you know, and I appreciate you wanting me to come to your house, but I can't do it. So I'm kind to him, but yeah.
Yeah, I think there's this little aspect where sometimes I people please instead of being honest about that. Like instead of saying no, I don't really want to do that. I think that doing it is actually the nice thing to do, you know. So I appreciate that lens of being the teacher 100% of the time and staying integral in that.
Yeah, it really puts you in a position of being alone, but you're very, very fortunate to have very, very beautiful friends around you, Mark. So, yeah. I do believe it's not possible. I mean, I can go to the supermarket and someone can be very, very beautiful to me, and I'm very beautiful back to them, but once it's finished, I'm gone.
Yeah,
yeah. There's no indulging, no wanting to keep it going, and just appreciate the moment. And then you notice the people that look at you in another way, and you notice and check that feeling, and then go on with your life and let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you chase the world, it'll chase you down. And if you don't chase the world, the world will chase you down. the beautiful things will come out of your expectation not to want to be that way. And then there'll be all these shining lights that will surround you. Mm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Simba, do you have more questions?
Probably always have questions, but nothing that's popping up really now. No, but I really like what you said with the path, you know, the path being strong and purpose being strong. And I personally believe that everyone knows their path deep down, but it's really an unraveling of distractions to get there. And that's always been my path, you know, to be devoted to something, whatever it was, to have devotion to something. And I had devotion to a lot of things that were good for me for a period of time, but something always happened to show me that that wasn't the path. I got injured, or I got into a situation I didn't want to be in. And yeah, life really went, no, don't do that. This is not your...
The boxing glove.
Yeah, exactly. Quite literal, the lessons, right? They can be subtle sometimes, but I had quite severe lessons like that, like no permanent damage, but very strong messages from life, definitely, that this is not your path. I mean, I guess there is one aspect of being devoted and waiting for something to manifest and just hitting your head against a brick wall, hoping for it to open up, right? And those are two very different things. in my opinion. And I'm really happy that I found out that I'm not doing the latter anymore, that I'm following the energy a bit more.
Yeah. I've had similar experiences too in the past, being involved in, I was invited to a, to an old master's school, and his students were a little bit jealous of me and everything like that. But I did what I was meant to do and realized that they're on the same path, but not with the same emphasis. And I mean, the lesson was to continue and not to be discouraged because other people didn't have enough heart to realize that the path they're on was meant to be in the direction of dedication and opening the field of perception in a way which has got nothing to do with Kung Fu or anything like that, but everything to do with Kung Fu. Because it just, the virtue of Kung Fu just means hard work. Neigong just means hard work. Anything you do with your hands, the Lao Gong on your hands means hard labor. So everything is determines the outcome through your effort. And your efforts are always sustain you through draining you. And then you get up the next day, they sustain you, and then you get drained, and then you get back up again and do it all over again. You know, so. But does that sound bad?
That sounds very familiar. It really sounds like martial arts, you know, like you continue practice. I talk to this with my students a lot. Like, there's perfectionism that you think you have to do everything perfect, and there's perfection, you do it until you can't do it wrong. Like, you don't even know how to do it in a different way because you just practice it until it goes natural for you.
Yeah. And then it becomes one with you. So it's unification.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah. It's one step to your Buddhahood, really, yoking. Yoking your physical methods into unification, where the mind is subtracted from the situation because your body knows what to do. Yeah. That's life, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I found myself on two spectrums when it comes to that many times. Like, I had way too much discipline at some point, and it was just draining me. And the last year I've been kind of back and forward, really learning how to take a step back and not overdoing things in terms of, because it's not hard with discipline for me. I just decide and I do something, but I realize I can really drain myself if I'm not listening with the discipline, right? If I just drive and don't learn how to take a step back when I'm supposed to.
That's true. Hardness will make you soft. And softness will get you up and train hard.
Can't hear you, Sarah.
Huh? There you go.
We can hear you now.
We couldn't hear you first, but now we can hear you.
Oh, really?
It was like a little glitch.
Mm-hmm. So do we have any more questions?
I don't have any more questions.
No.
You know, the most difficult thing about our situation is we all love each other and there's no issues. So it's very difficult to bring up subject matter unless there's something really pressing. So we're really traversing the content of our own hearts and watching each other in terms of that the feeling of devotion, really. So it's kind of difficult to bring things out to be absolutely purposeful in saying something very intelligent and to put on the table that everyone's going to appreciate. But if everyone can see the appreciation of the love going between us has gone beyond words, actually, that's why we're not talking very much. I realize that too, you know, so. It's like when you left me the message on Skype and you went like, oh, I don't know what I think, or something like, I don't know how you went.
Korean.
Yeah,
heart.
Yeah, like this. And I thought, oh, I think, oh, shit. I thought to myself, oh, Sarah's got so much personal power, so much confidence when she did. I have to ask what that means. But it was just the appreciation of your attention towards me. And, you know, so I'm just giving back the virtue of the same thing. So we're traveling on feeling more than words. So it's, we're going to have to generate something to really talk about, because we're so comfortable with each other. It's the subject matter is obvious for us, you know, or the feeling is obvious. It's not boring or anything like that. It's we're at the end of our road of communication. It just means that there's a volume of feeling which is being navigated without words. So it's the feeling of wordlessness in terms of realizing what's going on, but without the words is happening. This is true devotion. So there you go.
Much for this. I really appreciate it. Or we all do.
Yeah.
And Samadhi's been with us the whole time.
Oh, she has. She's such a beautiful thing. She's don't you touch me while I'm sleeping. She came in between us this morning. I think I said that to you guys, and just she sat in between us and purring. It's all this love just emanating out from her, because we go to her so many times while she's asleep and give her cuddles and pat her like this, and she'll roll over like this and go, come and get me, guys. And then when we're sleeping, she comes and does exactly the same thing. So she's mimicking our behavior. So beautiful.
Oh, that's what they're doing. I thought that they wanted food.
Oh, maybe she wants to get us out of bed for sure, but she's got ulterior motives. But there's a certain amount of gratitude coming. You know, coupling with the heart of another species is so beautiful, so beautiful.
Yeah.
And to anticipate their needs and everything like this, you're continually in a position of parenthood, really. And whatever you do, it molds their character, and it's such a beautiful thing. Anyway, you can tell I love my cat. Yeah.
We're cat people too, don't worry.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we have a dog. Don't forget Coco.
Yeah. He's right here outside the door.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one that needs the most love and attention at this moment. So we really try to get to him. Yeah.
He likes the work, though. I do a lot of work on him.
Yeah, I've even tried some of the Loban Pai massage techniques on his scapula.
Yeah, she's getting that too. I'm sort of rubbing her around and everything like this with the same techniques. And yeah, they really appreciate it. The animals really appreciate it.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how is your massage going, Mark? I was going to ask you. You got the thing up on the website. You have to send me the link so I can have a look, see whether it looks okay.
Yeah,
otherwise we just I'll got get it up. You
know. I'll send you the link.
Okay, I'd love to have a look. I'm excited.
Yeah, and the massage is going well. Sarah's had a few, and we've got a few more scheduled. And in January, it's officially on the schedule for things that we provide.
Yeah, you'll only get more and more expertise in this.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful, very very beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign up a couple of times a week myself.
Yeah. You done now?
I'll go myself into the schedule.
Max going to say, no, I need to rest.
No, Mark, it's happening. It's time to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to practice.
Yeah. Every day.
Where's your devotion?
Yeah.
No, it's incredible, because I've had so much pain in my body, in my life. It's been, I mean, I had to go to body workers a couple of times a week just to keep it manageable. And I mean, after I left for Thailand and worked through a lot of things, I don't have that kind of pain anymore. But I realized that this was what I wanted when I came to a body worker. This massage is what I was actually looking for, but I didn't know what to ask for, but my body knew. So,
oh, you're spoiled now.
Yeah, yeah. Finally. It took me 46 years.
That's what Miss said to me. I spoiled her terribly, and she can't have anyone put her hands on it, because it's very specific.
Yeah,
so there you go, Mark.
Yeah.
You're in trouble now. Everyone's going to be able to see your hands.
It's good to be busy.
Yeah. It is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you for teaching me.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. You're a beautiful guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so happy for Mark.
Yeah.
It's really a gift to have someone to join us on the level that he is. Because, you know, when I chose this path, I thought that, okay, I will be single forever. No, who will I ever find who is on this path that is so narrow? And it didn't take long, and then Simba showed up. And then
yeah.
I was like, okay, it will be me and Simba. And then Mark showed up. And now I get the feeling that there will be more. So
look, what you wish for.
The thing is, I have always dreamt of living together with my friends.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was living in Sweden, because we live so isolated, you live in your apartment with your closest, you know, your boyfriend or husband or children and dog or whatever, and then the people that you love, they live on the other side of the town or, you know, far away, and it's cold and it's isolated, and it's like you never really see each other. And so I was always dreaming of living abroad and having houses close together, and that you could always you had people close and you see each other all the time. But if you don't want to see anyone, no one is going to say anything about that. You just go do your thing, and then you can meet and have dinner and that's what it's starting to, I mean, that's what it is right now, but I feel it will get bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Company eating is sacred. It's a sacred thing. Knowing somebody else is there is a sacred thing too. Yeah.
Yes, I'm super, super. I'm so grateful for it.
It's really good.
People coming along. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And please send us a DM for any questions, inquiries, or consultations. Please follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. And please visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, to read more about us and what we do. And remember, freedom and purpose is your birthright. Lots of love.